and one from Hebrews. So Mark 2, 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Hebrews 4, 1-11. "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, 'So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.' And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day God rested from all his works.' And again in the passage above he says, 'They shall never enter my rest.' Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news to proclaim to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience."
This morning we're continuing to think about what it means to love God in our lives, that aspect of worship. And we're going to think about what it means to love God through Sabbathing. And what is Sabbathing? Is it just a word I've made up, or does it actually mean something? Well, it's sort of something I've made up, but I'm not the only person to have thought of something similar. Because it's a way of talking about the principle of Sabbath rest, whilst not wanting to get caught up in some of the long discussions you can have with some people about keeping the Sabbath holy. And it's not that I don't think that the Sabbath is important, because hopefully we'll see that as we reflect on things this morning. But it's just there are certain people who take the matter of the Sabbath very seriously, and unfortunately very legalistically as well. To illustrate, there is a story of a church in the Scottish Islands in the not too distant past, where Sabbath observance was the norm. And the elders were discussing the matter, and one of them pointed out that Jesus had repeatedly broken the Sabbath, just as he was talked about in our reading. But another of the elders replied, "Well, it seems even our blessed Lord was a bit of a liberal on this matter." We, of course, need to remember today that Sunday isn't the same as the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a 24-hour period from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday when Jews stopped for their Sabbath observance. The early church, though, began to meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, a different day of the week. And they never called it the Sabbath. Some of the early Jewish Christians may have celebrated both, but that soon fell into fashion. The church gathered together on a Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that remembers Jesus' resurrection, a day to celebrate together. So the Sabbath doesn't equal Sunday. However, people did soon start to try and apply the Sabbath regulations of the Old Testament to Sunday. And it is only in the Old Testament where you find Sabbath regulations. And people didn't really ask the question, is it appropriate to transfer those regulations across, failing to ask in any way, did Jesus' coming fulfill the Sabbath laws in the same way he fulfilled the Old Testament laws regarding sacrifices? And this pillaging of Old Testament law without New Testament reinterpretation made it very easy to become legalistic about applying to Sunday all sorts of restrictions. And it's carried on to today in some places. No drinking, no watching TV, no walking further than a short distance on a Sunday, and definitely no working or shopping. And the way people conducted themselves on a Sunday became for the church what the Sabbath had become for Jews in Jesus' day, an exercise in legalism, rather than being a gracious blessing. However, it didn't need to be like this, because in our reading from Mark's Gospel, we heard how Jesus radically reinterpreted the Sabbath. Just as we don't need to sacrifice a sheep or a goat on the communion table, when we come to celebrate communion, we can remember Jesus' sacrifice through bread and wine. We don't need to be bound by the legalism of Sabbath observance being transferred to a Sunday. If Jesus is our Lord, he is Lord of the Sabbath. And we need to look no further than him to understand what Sabbathing is all about for a follower of Jesus. And we can learn something more of what it means to love God through Sabbathing. So what could the principle of Sabbath mean for our lives as followers of Jesus today? And if there's one thing I'd like you to remember this morning, let it be this. An understanding of the Sabbath and an adoption of Sabbath principles for our lives as followers of Jesus today can help us find a good God-life balance in our lives. Sabbath for the Christian is really about maintaining the God-life balance. Now we hear a lot about a work-life balance, the proper prioritising between work, career and ambition and lifestyle, health, pleasure, leisure, family, spiritual development. That's a lifestyle choice though. And it's concerned with reducing stress and helping family development. And it's a good thing. But if we talk about it in terms of our Christian faith, all we're doing is forcing a contemporary value on top of something that we have a perfectly good solution for anyway. And it can end up corrupting our understanding of Sabbath and taking it away from something that could better enable us to flourish as disciples of Jesus today. And I'd like to suggest that us finding a God-life balance is better. So let us see how this might be the case by having a look at what the Bible says about Sabbath. And in the Bible, all things start with the creation narratives. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we have these words. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. We have God at the end of his work of creation, resting. And this is easily been seen as a justification for doing nothing on the Sabbath. But that misunderstands what is being said here. God at this point has stopped creating. And this is what he is resting from, creating. It doesn't mean he's gone and put his feet up on the seventh day. It just means he's finished one thing that he's doing and he's getting on with something new. A new period of time emerges on the seventh day. And that period of time is where we are living now. This is the seventh day of creation, in essence. This is the day that humanity was supposed to get fruitful in, both in terms of relationship and vocation. The rest of God is his ongoing role in creation, and our rest is that we are to carry on relating to God and walking in the garden as Adam did. The seventh day is blessed because it is the completion of creation, and creation is there as a fully functioning whole. The seventh day, the Sabbath of God, is a day when we are to get creative and live. A time to do whatever will reflect your love, appreciation, respect, and awe of God in all aspects of your living. It's all about worship, all about loving God through Sabbathing, all about living as we were intended to live. The trouble is that in the biblical story, things soon went wrong for humanity. Instead of being satisfied with walking in the garden with God, we instead chose to walk by ourselves. And humanity stopped living in that seventh day and created their own way of living, a way that was no longer restful. And as an interim measure to restoring rest to humanity, God gave the law. And as part of that, he reintroduced the importance of Sabbath observance as a signpost to reclaiming the blessing of living on the seventh day to the people of Israel. Whilst in Egypt, the Hebrews were enslaved, forced to work and work, not for their own benefits, but for the whim of Pharaoh. And in emancipating the Hebrews from slavery, God also stopped them from being forced to work. And the fourth commandment is this: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male and female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. The Israelites were now no longer living under the God of Pharaoh, and the observance of Sabbath was one way they could show they were living under the reign of their God. The Sabbath day was a day to reclaim the way of creation, a day of relating to God as if you're walking with him in the garden. The Sabbath was to be a covenant sign, a sign of relationship. Sabbath rest was not about inactivity, but about learning to live in a fruitful way in harmony with God. Not about withdrawing from the world, but about God in the world. Sabbath was to be a contrast to slavery, flogging yourself for another master, but instead living for God. And this is what the psalmist celebrated in Psalm 95, the Sabbath psalm that I read at the beginning of the service. It's all about remembering who we are in relation to God and celebrating that. The Sabbath principle, though, got corrupted by humanity over time and became just another rule to be ignored or to be kept legalistically, enslaving people once again. And the prophets sent by God rallied against this unmeaningful Sabbath observance, sharing God's complaint that the Sabbath was not for Israel's own ends, but for delighting in him. That the Sabbath was about a complete creation ruled faithfully and fruitfully under God. God had a better solution, though, than the law, to enable humanity to return to the rest. And this hope came in Jesus. And as we've already heard, Jesus considered himself Lord of the Sabbath. And this meant that he would be the one through God would restore Sabbath rest to all people, enabling people to live on the seventh day once again. But this time, they would be in the new creation with God. And Jesus wrestles the Sabbath away from legalism and lets it become a means of grace. And this is where our reading from Hebrews comes in. In this passage, the writer of the Hebrews wants their readers to know that the rest that the people of Israel had failed to find in the promised land can be found in Jesus. The entrance to the promised land was supposed to be a new start for the Israelites, but instead it became the next saga of them doing just what they wanted. It was an opportunity for them to live on the seventh day, but instead it turned into another case of them walking away from God rather than with God. And even though they now had the law to guide them, their disobedience meant they didn't find the promised rest. But in Jesus, God gives everyone a way to enter his promised rest. In Jesus, he gives everyone a chance to live in the seventh day. In Jesus, we find our true resting place. Because if we believe in the good news, we will come into a relationship with God. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can walk again with God because we've been set free from slavery. Not from Egypt, but from the greater oppressor of sin. And so through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we can walk in the ways of God and find rest from the endless toil of trying to do life on our own. Our Sabbath rest is not a day off, but the promise of an everyday lived with Jesus, a life of God-life balance. In Jesus, the Sabbath is restored to its former glory, something we can experience in part now and in the future fully, when all creation is renewed. This picture of what Sabbath rest might mean for us might be a challenge because we may have learnt a different way to understand Sabbath. May even fought battles over Sunday trading. We may find it challenging, but it may be able to help us and redeem something that can be good for us. What I'm not trying to do is justify us going off to the shops on a Sunday, straight after the service. But what we need to think about is the call to be people who find our rest in Jesus and celebrate that we are his covenant people in the best way we can in our lives. And it's about finding the God-life balance that we seem to be called to as a way that we show our love for God. And we can easily become slaves to the cult of busyness in our lives, that hurried way of living. We can easily be convinced that our value in life comes from doing lots of things. Even our value to God comes from us doing more from God. But that's not the case. And Sabbathing can help turn this around. Help you see that your value comes not from what you do, but from who you are in Christ. So what might Sabbathing look like for us as followers of Jesus? Well, Sabbathing applied to our lives of work may mean that your work is no longer the center of your existence. It doesn't become your God, the focus of your worship. You may need to lay it down at times, to recalibrate, to refocus that God-life balance. It isn't just enough to grab a few minutes with your Bible in the morning or just before bed or fire off prayers. But maybe it means that you need to show God how much you love him by turning away from anything else that can capture our hearts. We may feel that we can't pause. We can't do less. But creation ran along quite well on the seventh day when God rested, just as it was supposed to. And we need to rest in our lives, and rest is not the same as exhaustion. We need times when we can come back to God as being the center of our living. We work to pay the bills, but we also end up working to accumulate more stuff. The practice of Sabbathing turns our attention away from the relentless accumulation of stuff towards God as being the source of all things. Try and at least allow one day a week when work isn't on the table. One day where it doesn't rule your life, but instead allow God to rule more fully. It may be a Sunday, but it doesn't have to be. The Sabbath principle can be applied to those of you who are retired. You too need to look and find space for God, because many of you will still find yourselves busy with voluntary roles or helping family. Spending time with God is just as important for you now. Carve out that time. Don't see it as less important. See yourself as being blessed with more time to do it. Just be with God and celebrate all that He has done for you. Find that God-life balance. And the Sabbath principle can be applied to your family life. What would it mean for God to be placed at the centre of your family? Regular times of worship together. What kind of difference would that make to how you relate to one another? Which arguments would dissipate? Would your love for each other grow stronger? Family life is busy, but family life without God at its centre can be missing something. And the Sabbath principle can also be applied to church life. The well-being of a church doesn't just rely on the things that we do. We can rest from our labours and indulge in our relationship with God. Give ourselves time to love God. It's not an indulgence, but it's a life-giving necessity. And we can learn a lot through realising that Sabbath is about all of life. Finding rest in the presence of God can be a blessing to us all the time, not just in the traditional holy moments. But learn it's all about living that holy life. The true nature of Sabbath is that we are to live the Sabbath all the time, because we are to live with Jesus all the time. We are to live on that seventh day walking with God in reverence and awe, because Sabbath is part of our worship. And my hope is that there is something in this that we could all learn. The God-life balance is working about walking with God in all things, and the principle of Sabbath reminds us of this. Sabbath is not an experience of legalism, but of grace, a wonderful gift that can enable us to live differently. We are not to be slaves to anything but the way of Jesus. And we no longer need to wander or search for rest and fulfillment in anyone else but Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in all our wandering, may we always find our rest in You. Amen.